Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the second edition of the pre-season Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano. We still have Paddo out of action, being a dad and all that sort of shit. But in the meantime, we got the MVP of the pre-season, Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach, back with us. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks for having me again. I've been subbed in for the pre-season. So
yeah,
I'm just as good as... what's his name? If you remember Huswaite from last year and Lazaro, everyone was on top of them throughout the preseason. Both of them were going to go flying, and then come round one, they weren't even in the team. So that's what's happening here.
Well, when we do the rookies podcast, Huswaite will be fucking up there.
I know.
Anyway, but we got a little segue because Huswaite's a midfielder, and we are doing the midfielders primo slash uber primo slash mid price madness podcast. There's so much to digest and unpack in this one. We've even had to put on the run sheet, like, how long we're allowed to talk with people. That's how many fucking people are on this. So just quickly, I know a lot of people's team structures at the moment, a lot of people are going with like four mids, and whether that's like an uber primo, two primos, and then a mid pricer, or some are even going with five mids and they're going like the uber primo. Some are even fading our first one, and we'll talk about that in a second. Uber primo, and then two to three primos, and then a mid-pricer. So I get it, and there's so many different combinations that we can do, so we will absolutely unpack that in this podcast, Pete. And we're going to start with the easiest one to talk about. That's our only Uber primo, and that is Sir Marcus Bontempelli at 681K. Need we say any more? Just lock the fucker in.
He is the biggest lockety lock of all locks to be locked. But yep. I just want to point out, and I'm just going to say this, yep. No one... ever in Supercoach history, which is 20 seasons, has ever topped the top scorer 3 years in a row. Just saying. So this, if he does it again this year, he will be the first player to do it. So just something just to think about, because he's done it 2 years in a row, which means it's most likely he is going to be surpassed. But I still think he's going to be a gun.
Oh, yeah. His price will fluctuate up and down as well, because there's no way you can sustain it for that long. But anyway, lock him in because he's guaranteed points, guaranteed captaincy pretty much nearly every week. So anyway, we'll move on to what we call the neck level primos. So you got to at least have one of these guys in your team. And we're going to start off with Zachy Butters at 649K. Stellar 2024. His star continues to rise. And fuck, this is what's mind-boggling, Pete. He even has a sub-affected score of 159 in there from 65% time on ground. That is, you are not hearing that incorrectly. That was a sub-affected 159. He's an absolute fucking lockety-lock for me.
He was my captain that day. I was happy and upset all at the same time. Yeah, he's in my team as well, and he hasn't left my side. Both of these guys have been in my side since the second team picker opened. Now, sorry, I know this, you said short talk, and I'm going to keep it short, but yep. Port Adelaide have a great draw, great buy structure. Just pick him.
Yep. Now, this next bloke, this is one that I'd be considering to fade, and a lot of people will be, and that's Lachie Neal at 646K. So he's turning 32. We know that. The rise of the midfielders around him as well, and one of them we'll be talking about a bit later. I wouldn't blame anyone that actually starts him as a POD. He's currently, as I wrote this run sheet, in 7% of teams. And I need to stress this because we will mention this a few times. Brisbane have one of the best runs in the first half of the season for midfielders. And he even had a sub-affected score as well last year, like... Butters did, except this time it was a 125 in round four off of 71% time on ground. So again, I'm not backing in Neal. I actually really want to get a Brisbane midfielder, but at the moment I've currently got none. I wouldn't blame people for picking him, but I also wouldn't blame them for not picking him. What are your thoughts?
Chucky Neal has been in my team since basically the whole time I've been playing, since he's been at Brisbane, actually, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit of Fremantle too. He's in my team. He finds his way in every year, but I don't think I'm going to be starting him this year purely because of that early buy. And also, he hasn't had the best preseason. Hasn't played any of the match simulation. So it's coming in a little bit underdone. And I think with the guys like Will Ashcroft coming along, and he's going to be getting more game, more, sorry, more CBA action, especially after, that Norm Smith grand final performance. There's rumors that Neil's going to be pushing up the ground more and spending a little bit of time more up forward. I think he's still a good pick, but he's like 32 now, or he's about to be, he's turning 32. I think that you could fade him at that price, and maybe go for someone like Ashcroft or even a Dunkley who's a little bit below
You're jumping the gun there. We'll talk about Dunkley in a bit.
that.
Next one, and this guy everyone knows about. That's Nick Daicos, 631K. So you've got to include the boy wonder. Stats machine and purpose built for Supercoach, 110%. Umpires fucking love him. Champion data love him. Now, when you take out, and this is the interesting thing, when you take out his sub affected score, we love the sub affected scores of 64, so not as impressive as the other guy's sub affected scores. When you take out that 64 in round 13, he actually has an average of 119.6 Supercoach, Pete. And like if he hit that 120, he's 0.4 off 120. Now, it's not a massive jump from what he's currently averaged, but like I said, when you see an average of 120, it screams, and I don't, it's psychological. It screams a lot better than 119.6. And then you forget to realize it's his fourth fucking AFL season that he's coming into. And you forget that he's so fucking young. So, yeah, he's definitely one to consider. And just to, before I pass it over to you, he got that big 186 in his last game of 2024 as well.
I can see Nick Daigle being the number one player at the end of this season. I could definitely see it. But I don't know how to pronounce this, but the injury that he had on his,
Plantar
that one, the
fasciitis.
injury that he had on his foot, I just reckon he's got to go. He's got to read Robert Harvey's book and jump off a stool. Because I'm pretty sure Robert Harvey had that issue early in his career, and he did something probably not medically recommended, and then he won a couple of Brownlows shortly after that. Look, it does concern me a little bit. I would love to see him tear apart a couple of practice matches, come into, opening round, score 180, and then you know what? He does that, I'm picking him. I don't even care about the buy. It's worth waiting. It's worth just starting him and not having to bother trading him in. Right, but he's one of those guys that we luckily do get to see in round zero. So if he goes out there all guns blazing, looks like the jet that he is, then yeah, by all means, pick him. I've got no objections at all. But and I don't even care with the buy. He's the only player, the only midfielder I think that we can pick that's a primo, that is buy affected, and we could justify it because he's just that good. But honestly, if he's not 100%, then nah, you could pick him up at 500 and something K later in the year.
And the thing I want to stress is that flex position, right? You can afford to pick someone like a Daicos, chuck him out for that one bye round, have someone come in off your bench, and look, these rookies are fucking lit this year. I got to tell you, they're fucking lit, especially the midfielders. Put one of the midfielders on, but then you've got your flex, right? And if your flex pops off, it's basically like you never even needed Daicos in that round anyway. So I can see a world where, yeah, people start Daicos, and it's been tempting me. I'm going with another kind of flavor, and it's probably going to be in defense. But with that flex rule, but yeah. So that was starting off with our Uber Primo Bont. Those next three are what we call our next level Primo. So you need to have at least one of Butters, Neil, or Daicos, in my opinion. We're leaning more towards Butters and Daicos rather than Neil. Now, this next lot, and this is the fucking longest list known to fucking man. It is the Primo list. So you can have as many of these as you like. We're going to break it down, and we're going to start off with the man of the start of 2024, and that's Isaac Heaney at 629K. So if you started him like I did in 2024, didn't have to trade him in, fucking lit. You already saved yourself a trade. But now he's listed as a sole mid. Last year, he was a forward mid. Not much has really been reported about his role, from my understanding, under Dean Cox. I did read a few things. They're saying that he's in the engine room. Someone else has said he's going to be resting a bit up forward. Fucking contradictory information everywhere. So I've also heard that someone else is going to be resting a lot more up forward, which is Warner. That grand final though took a fucking massive toll on Heaney, in my opinion. And then we found out that yeah, he had a stress fracture in his ankle and couldn't even fucking run on the thing. So He said his foot was coming along nice and he was hopeful to be fully fit for opening round. But that honestly screams to me avoid. Like avoid, avoid, avoid. Much better options to start the season, even ones that are cheaper than him that you could honestly would do better. What are your thoughts?
Sydney have a lot of midfielders. That's my concern. And because of that, if he's not 100%, he could rest forward because he's actually such a damaging forward.
Yep.
If you remember, it was only 2022, I believe, that he had that half forward role pushing into the midfield, of course, as well. That led him to win All Australian. He had a really good season that year in that kind of role. Now, I know that he almost won a Brownlow. Probably should have won the Brownlow last year if he didn't get suspended. I think that really hurt his run too. But he just look, if he's not 100, look, I haven't heard anything too bad from him as an injury cloud. From all what I've heard, he looks to be tracking well. He's played match simulations in the guts. It is Warner that has been cited deep forward more
Yep.
often. I'm swaying more to another midfielder myself at the Swans. Well, fingers crossed he's a midfielder, that is. But Dean Cox has turned out and said that he will be playing midfield, and that is Mr. Callum Mills. So I'm probably not picking Heaney because if I'm going Mills and, Bailey Smith, I've already got two players missing out on that bye week. I'm not going to
Yeah.
pick Heaney as well. So you've got to really think about that too. If you're starting Mills and Smith, and you pick Heaney in the guts, you've got three dudes you're missing now. And that's all. I know that's only 1 week, but that week's gonna be shit.
Yeah,
It's gonna be really
100%.
shit for you. So
100%.
just something to keep in mind. So it's a no for me, purely because of that.
Next one we got is Caleb Sarong at 623K. So basically, I got a lot of ticks. So he's got the good buy at 116.7 Supercoach average in 2024. Won't be shifting from that midfield role. One other thing that I want to point out that I didn't put on our run sheet is he can actually, even when he's getting tagged in the middle, he can push out to the wing and still score good, which people will be like, ooh, wingers. Nah, man, if you're multi-dimensional and you can still score in another position, fuck yeah. So, and he had a season high of 170 Supercoach points, so he's got the capability, the pedigree to be a mean Supercoach scorer for many, many years to come, and he ticks all the right boxes for me. One of his teammates also ticks all the boxes, but we'll talk about him a bit later. But right now, Sarong, what are your thoughts?
Not picking him just sounds so wrong. Sorry, yeah, sorry, that was terrible.
That was so bad.
Honestly, I know it was. I've actually started Sarong every year for the last 3 years, and I've enjoyed it. I mean, 2022, I went a little bit early, probably. 2023 and 2024 has served me well. Look, he's only 24 years of age, and he just turned 24 about a week and a half ago. So he hasn't, so he's entering the best of his career, hopefully, that is. And he's only really played over 100 games. He's won two All-Australians and two Best and Fairest already. And the guy's entering the best time of his career now. I think that he's up for a massive season, potentially. And Fremantle have the best buy. I can see me trying to get Sarong in the early stages of the season. However, I'm probably swinging a little bit more to his teammate, and that's purely due to price. I don't see
Yep.
there being a massive gap in their scoring, and that is why I'm going with that pick. But at the same time, Sarong, look, he's not in as many teams right now as what he was at last year, which is surprising. So he could be a decent little POD that some people are forgetting for some reason.
Yep.
Actually, I just want to see how many teams is he actually in? So sorry, I know that this happens a bit. So live podcasting, give me a
Live
sec.
podcasting. Du, 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 du,
He
du.
is in 17% of teams, which is not that much. It's just not that much.
He is
Meanwhile, this.
fadeable though, and when we talk about his teammate in a little bit, we'll understand why. But we're going to keep pressing on because we've got a lot to unpack. So next one, Zach Merritt at 621K. So generally, you can't go wrong with Zachy Merritt. He's in the thick of the action with the CBAs, can kick a snag. He's lingered around that 115, 116 mark the past 4 years. And we know he has the ceiling, but his floor on the odd occasion is the thing that lets him down. So in 2024, he had three sub 85 scores, with the lowest being 74. And like he's turning 30 this year, so there's still gas in the tank. What are your thoughts on Zachy Merritt?
Another guy that somehow makes his way into my team every year. In 8% of sides at the moment, and I think a large part of that is due to his bye, personally. If the Bombers weren't playing round zero, I could see that number being a bit higher. Though, historically, Merritt is one of those guys that does like to turn it on. Well, in previous seasons, does like to turn it on after the bye. So a lot of people do like to pick him after that bye. So I do understand that. However, his 2024 season really wasn't that. So unlike some previous years, because I feel like he's got that reputation, he just went bang from the get-go. Like his first, I'm just going to read out his first four games of last season, okay? 127, 132, 131, 136. Now, that's
Yum.
great. He actually made money for people that started him.
Yeah.
20K, but he made cash. He dropped off a little bit towards the middle, and then after the bye, he went bang again. He's one of those guys, I think he's just a safe pick, personally.
Yeah.
But there's
Yeah.
other guys that don't have that early bye that you're probably going to get a similar output from. And I think that the second that he has his bye, I'm probably jumping all over it.
Yeah. Now, keeping it moving forward, the next one we got is Josh Dunkley at 602K. So this one for me is one to strongly consider for people. And if you guys remember when he got traded from the Western Bulldogs to the Lions, Paddo made the comment that he wouldn't be surprised if Josh Dunkley ends up being one of the top scorers in Supercoach in one of the years that he's at Brisbane. And he hasn't quite done that yet, but Brisbane have this ridiculous run in the first half of the season for mids. And we know he has the ceiling, but the thing that's turning me off is his floor. Now, his floor is quite bad. So I do think that a Brisbane mid is one that might be needed, especially the early parts of 2025. I don't have any at the moment as I'm talking about this. But yeah, it's just a question of which one. And like he's ultra POD territory, Dunkley. He's in 1% of teams right now. So yeah, like if you're so concerned that everyone's team looks similar and you want that one POD, he's one to really consider.
He's also one player that you could pick up as a correction. Because hear me out. Hear me out. He plays Sydney round one. Wait. Who's his round zero side team? Is it
Wait, wait,
Sydney?
wait, wait.
Have I missed? Have I missed around this? Hang on. Whoa. Yeah, no, he plays Sydney off. Wait, who's his round zero side? It's not telling me. It's just is he Sydney first game?
I've got
It's
no
saying round
fucking
one
idea.
here. It's saying round one here on the Supercoach app, but it's like that doesn't make sense. He plays round zero. Anyway, he's got the Swans. And then he's got West Coast and Richmond, from what I can see.
Okay,
And
that'll be his Supercoach scoring. So he's got Geelong in round zero.
my God, what am I looking at? What is
Yeah.
wrong with me?
So remember, Supercoach, when they look at it, they'll only look from rounds one onwards because that's all that counts for head-to-heads and whatnot.
So we've got
They got
Well,
Geelong.
this changed everything that I was about to say. Well, he's got. So look, yeah, he's. That's the thing. So he's got. It's so annoying to trade into him. You'd have to wait till just before his Richmond game. Or you start him. You could start him, in theory,
Yeah,
if you like. But you'd have to see what else you have in that bye.
I think it's like for midfielders, like their first like 8 games or something is just ridiculously good for mids.
Well, they play Geelong, Sydney, West Coast, Richmond, Bulldogs, Collingwood, St Kilda, Gold Coast, North in the
Yeah,
first 10 games.
that's so good.
That's it. It is juicy. It is juicy. But you could fade him because look, I know that Geelong don't. I mean, he'll probably score well against Geelong. He might not do the best against the Swans. The Swans do like to lock down a little bit. I mean, West
Yeah.
Coast. I mean, that's an easy beat. That's fine.
I want to interject with
So
the
he.
Swans. The Swans won't focus on him.
They won't necessarily focus on
Nah,
him,
they won't. They
but.
won't focus on him at all. They'll focus on either Neil, McCluggage, or even Ashcroft.
Possibly. And he could score great against them, and he's going to smash West Coast. That's fine. But you could trade him with a slight price increase in potentially just before a Tigers game where he's probably going to go absolutely bonkers. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so hard picking players, especially in the midfield that have an early bye. It just really is. It just
Well, yeah.
really is.
Something to consider anyway.
I've got three bye primo players right now. I've got one primo bye player and two mid prices. And I think that's too much, personally. But he is one to consider, definitely.
Yeah, we're going to keep pushing forward because we're only in the high 500,000s now.
You're
So,
right.
next
I
one is
talk too much. I'm sorry.
Patrick Cripps, 595K. Patrick Cripps, he's won a Brownlow last year. Fuck off. Contested ball beast. But his consistency over the past few years in Supercoach scoring has been a bit of a worry. He's currently in 8% of teams. I personally won't be picking the fucker. I think there's a lot of breakout contenders worth considering over him, even some of those discounted primos. What are your thoughts?
Look, I actually don't mind him as a pick. I just
Oh.
want to. Now, you're saying, hang on, hear me out, hear me out. You're saying Brisbane have the best, like one of the best record, like opening round, opening draws.
For mids,
I just
mind
want
you.
to,
For mids.
for mids, but I just want to call out, okay, so after round zero, right, this is who Patrick Cripps is going to face, the Tigers.
Yeah.
That's 150 points right there, minimum. Hawthorne.
Okay,
Who,
so I want
could
to
go either
interject
way.
with
Dogs. Yeah.
Hawthorn. Hawthorn have a big bodied midfielder who plays perfectly on Patrick Cripps.
Okay. That's one game. That's
Yep.
one game.
One out of
Okay.
two, yep.
The Dogs.
Yep.
Collingwood.
Okay, yep.
West Coast. North Melbourne.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's real juicy. Carlton are a team that I really want to start some players. And I look, if Walsh was in my team until he got the back injury. If he's flying come round one, if I see Sammy Walsh or Patrick Cripps go off the chain against, in opening round, I'm probably going to have to pick one of them because that draw to me just sounds amazing. And then after that, he's got Geelong, Adelaide, St Kilda. So that's not even that bad either. And then get this, he plays Sydney and GWS before Essendon, West Coast, North. He could be, he, man, honestly, he can make us money. He can make us money by round 15.
Okay.
I
Just
can't. I'm
calm
getting
it down.
excited. I'm
Just
picking him
calm it
now.
down.
I'm making all my changes.
Well,
Bontempelli out, Patrick Cripps in.
this next bloke's better.
Oh,
So this next bloke's who I've currently got in my team, and I'm pretty sure who you have in your team, and that's Andy Brayshaw, 592K. So just remember, think back. It wasn't too long ago that the coaches and the players were calling this fucker the best player in the league. Then he had kind of a little bit of a dip, but looking at his and. I always look at last 10 games, sometimes last 5 games when there's role changes and whatnot. So his last 10 games of 2024, really, he got back to his best and he only posted two sub 100 scores out of the 10. It was a 77 and an 85 with a 10 round average of 120.9 Supercoach. So he is locked into my side due to that. And also he has the very, very favorable round 13 bye in which only two teams have it, and that's St Kilda and Freo. So he's in 10% of teams at the moment from when I wrote this. It's probably gone up even since then. He's a lockety lock for me. What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolute lock. He's been in my side since Team Picker like launched. I'm just going to quickly read out after his bye. So he was playing a lot of wing on the outside because he didn't have a proper preseason as the year kicked off, and his scoring was a bit. It was okay. It wasn't actually bad.
Yeah,
That's
it
the
was just
thing.
low
Like his
100s.
lowest score in the it was it, yeah his worst score was an 84. Like that's actually not that bad considering. But then after his bye, he did go a 73 against the Dogs, which is pretty average. But then went 134, 85, 128, 100, 137, 137, 137, 77, 147, and 127. Huge numbers. Absolutely huge numbers.
Yep,
And I just
Colfax.
want to point out that he only had 84% time on ground, right, in the Indigenous All-Stars game and still racked up 25 disposals. Okay. Just want to point that out there. That was last weekend. Still got
And
25 disposals.
was in cruise control.
Absolute cruise control. Playing
Yeah.
center. Nothing else. Just pure mid. This guy, and best buy in the competition as well. You have to pick him. You just have to pick at least one Fremantle mid. You have to pick either Sarong or Brayshaw. And I'm purely picking Brayshaw based on price. And that
Well,
is the
there's
only
one
reason.
more. There's one more that you can consider, and we'll talk about him in a moment.
Nat 5.
No. Life is not life anymore. We'll move on to the Kangaroos, Kanga Kanga Kanga, Roo Roo Roo, and that is LDUUU at 588K. So he's in just 7% of teams, and people were hyping the fucker up in preseason, and he's only in 7% of teams. So I don't know, like, am I just seeing those 7% on my Twitter? I don't know. Anyway, we know he's capable. of taking that next step, just needs to find that consistency and also a healthy run at it. So he had a season high score of 152, but he had a season low score of 67. So if you think, and this is an important one, if you think the Roos are going to be huge improvers in 2025, it'll be because of this man as well, having some support around him, and he will get a little uptick in scoring or even a great uptick. And considering the fact he's 588K playing for one of the shittest teams in the comp, if they improve, he will improve. So, like, it's someone to strongly consider is all I'm saying.
I like him. Don't get me wrong. I like the pick, but you have to. There's just one thing I just want to point out. Actually, it's really funny. Since we started the podcast, he's actually dropped to 6% of teams. He's
He's
become more of a
dropped to
POD.
6%.
I don't know what's happened since we started speaking, but he's gone to 6%.
What the fuck?
But the other thing I just want to point out is how many North Melbourne players do you have? Because I'm starting
Yeah.
Sheasel, Cherry, and Daniel, and then if people have Parker as well, that's already four. Okay, and the round 12 bye, I believe, is an annoying one from memory. So having a starting LDU, that's five potentially players missing that week alone. And I reckon that's why his ownership is so low, because there are so many other midfielders that you could potentially get a similar output from. And
Yeah.
then after round 12 bye, he's got West Coast right off the bat. So you're basically guaranteed 180 score there. So maybe it's just a waiting game. Just pick him in round 13, watch him go nuts against the Eagles, and probably captain him in the first week of owning him.
Yeah, maybe. With that side of things as well, I think a lot of people are in the same boat though, and that's okay. If you have the Luke Parker side of things, who is actually a POD at the moment, from my understanding, unless his fucking ownership skyrocketed since, everyone's going to be in the same boat. They're going to have probably one midfielder that's going to miss early, or in a shit buy, and they're going to have to cover him. So does do the Kangaroos play opening round?
They do not.
Oh, see, that's a plus. At least they're not
That's a
missing an
plus.
early game. Yeah.
Luke Parker's in 23% of teams
Oh,
right now.
fuck
That's
off.
gone up a lot.
Fuck
He's
off.
actually ahead of James Peatling now.
Jesus Christ.
It's trickling up since he's been getting CBA action. It's been trickling up. But in just saying that, Josh Smiley is in 25% of teams still, and he's injured. He hasn't played. And Kitty Coleman's still in 24% of teams.
Smilly or
So.
Smiley?
Smith, I don't actually know because I haven't heard a commentator say his name
Yeah,
yet.
neither have I. I just
I'm
assumed it was
waiting for
Smilly.
that.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for that.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
But yeah, he's not in a great deal. I don't know. Look, personally, I'm not. It's a no for me, but that is only because of the amount of other North Melbourne players I have in my team.
Yeah.
I just don't want my team to be North Melbourne.
Well, we'll move on. And this next bloke is Jack Steele at 585K. Now, I know people are going to be like, Dano, what the fuck are you thinking? Steele, really? But hear me out. Hear me out. Steele has been dying for some help in this midfield for quite some time. And look, he's now got Jack McRae coming along. And I know Philippou's injured, but with the emergence of him as well, those three together could be actually quite good and see Steele go back to his best. Now, I'm actually half tempted to monitor his preseason to see how healthy he is. And remember last year, he started off the season. His first five games, he averaged 130 Supercoach, with the lowest score being 119 and the highest being 143. So people forget that he's only just turned 29. And now in athletics and whatnot, they say that the peak age for people before they start seeing a decline is between 27 and 29. So you've got like your sarongs and that hitting 24. When they hit 27 to 29 is actually where they're going to be in peak physical condition, so they can maintain it or even go up a little bit more. So, and that's why we see a few late age breakouts, Pete. There's a little, someone's crunched the numbers on it, that there's a every few years there's, well, every couple of years, there's like a couple of players that randomly break out in their 27 to 29 range. This is part of it. That and role changes as well. So I just want people to consider that. Monitor Jack Steele. It will not surprise me if he comes out and absolutely fucking slays. And he does it off of 22 to 24 disposals.
St Kilda also, I just want to point out, have the best draw in the AFL. They just do. They play
Yeah.
Richmond in the first half of the season twice, I believe it is. Or no, they just play Richmond twice. They play Richmond very early, Their early buys are very, sorry, they don't have an early buy. Their early games were really good, especially for midfielders. They have the best mid-season buy too. So I actually think that a Saints player is pretty important, like a Saints primo, definitely. I had Sinclair, but you know, he did get injured, so
Yeah,
I don't have
same.
him now. But the thing is, I'm tempted to replace him with someone like a Steele, and I don't mind the pick at all. I really don't. So I don't hate it. I really don't. I actually think that he could be a pretty good player. And he had a disappointing season last year, and he still averaged 108. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's not bad. So,
One
and
thing.
everyone talks up. Sorry. I just want to say everyone talks
Yeah.
up Noah Anderson, Tom Green, Errol Goulden. They actually averaged less than Jack Steele
Yeah.
last year.
Yep.
So there you go.
One thing I do want to point out as well is another thing with the late breakouts as well is a lot of the time when they say late breakouts, it's like a primo that used to score huge, then has a dip, and then hits that huge score again randomly. Now, it wasn't too long ago. Again, Jack Steele was one of the highest averaging Supercoach players. It was not too long ago. He's had the dip. I feel like, and especially if he's healthy, this could be the uptick season. He won't go a fucking Sam Flanders almost 100 every single fucking week, but I feel like that he is being heavily slept on, and it's all because of previous injury history and whatnot. But remember, last season, Isaac Heaney. Previous injury history goes out, fucking slays. So it's a new season. Who's another one that had injury seasons all the time, then just fucking randomly popped off? Big Ruckman, Gold Coast. No, Witts.
Wits.
Witts.
Liberatore was the other one that I was thinking of too.
Fucking Libba. They all just have these random spikes and then just go good. And I feel like this is Jack Steele season. And I might just have to put my money where my mouth is, but I just can't fit him in at the moment unless I
There's
drop.
too much.
Yeah.
I dare you to drop
No, I'm not fucking dropping Bont. I'm not that fucking dumb.
Bontempelli
No, nah, it's more like I got a flex position player that's like 300 and something K, and I could put him down to a rookie and then upgrade a rookie in the mid to probably steal. I could throw my whole fucking dynamic out of whack. But anyway, but yeah, I honestly reckon that he's being slept on heavily. We'll move on though, because we got to keep pushing through these. So we're up to Sam Walsh at 584K. So he's had the hand. Now, I thought he had a hamstring setback this preseason. Is it actually his back as well?
He did have a hamstring problem. I didn't hear anything about his back.
You mentioned his
I
back
didn't
just
hear anything about
before.
his back.
Maybe that was
Sam.
last year Sam Walsh had the issues with the back, and maybe
He
that's why you brought it up.
he did have a back injury last year.
Anyway,
There was
he did.
something mentioned actually on YouTube earlier this week about it. But he said it was something about the pain wouldn't go away last year. So he did struggle. He did struggle with it a lot last season,
Yeah, okay.
but no, this was definitely a hamstring problem that he
Yeah,
had.
cool. Okay. So, like, again, we know he's fucking good, and when he's good, he's good. But you need to be wary of him because he hasn't had a healthy preseason. And look, the amount of guys that I know people are starting that are coming off of long-term injuries and shit like that, do you really want to put in one that's 584K that just can't string a full season together when you could probably get him on the cheap a little bit later?
I mean, that's if he doesn't go absolutely nuts against Richmond,
That's true. That is true.
is my concern. I did list out his opening draw, same as Patrick Cripps, and I actually really like, if he's fit, I'm probably picking him, to be
He's not
honest.
fit, though. He's not fit.
I'm saying if he's fit. If he's not fit, then no, then you
Yeah,
don't pick him.
nah.
But if he
Injury,
is fit,
injuries. Yeah.
I mean, people were saying that he was a steal at 600K last year. Oh no, 570. It's 600K the year before. So can't forget his 21 season. His 21 season, he was ridiculous.
Yeah. So next one, Errol
Yep.
Goulden, 582K, slightly cheaper primo this year, compared to last year. So he averaged 111.3 in 2023, or is that meant to be 20? Yeah, 2023. Now he's priced at 108. The thing that puts me off, and it always will, is wing roll. And I fucking hate wingers, even though there's a rookie that I'm looking at that's a winger. Or a couple of them that are wingers. He's an elite runner, can kick a snag, no problem. Yep. But yeah. Wingers, their scores fluctuate like fucking crazy. And I know we're all had him in 2023, because but that was because he was a fucking forward. He's not a forward anymore. He's a sole mid, and I feel like that there's better options out there, especially more consistent options.
I prefer Jack Steele, roughly the same
Same.
price.
Honestly, same. Yeah.
You don't get the buy effect game. He's only 3K less. I'm looking at his scoring. I'm looking at his scoring from last year: 77, 109, 149, 73, 129. That's what it is basically all year. It's just good game, bad game, good game, bad game. The good games are good. 149s, 131s, 151s, 142s, but the bad games are 73, 77, 82. Nah.
Oh, this
Not for
next
me.
bloke, he's one that everyone should be considering, and that's Noah Anderson, 575K. So from inside the fucking Gold Coast Suns camp, they are adamant that they will not only make finals, they will win their first final. They're so adamant of that, they've stopped even monitoring their social media, and they've been hacked like 3 times today. So if you want a fucking good laugh, go look at the Gold Coast Suns social media, especially their Facebook. Fucking random shit on there right now. It's fucking hilarious. Anyway, they're not focused on that. They're focused on their footy. This bloke just got made captain, sole captain, ahead of Tuke and fucking Witt. And I feel like this is like he's been lingering. He's been lingering like a really bad fart. And he averaged 106.7 Supercoach last year, but he's had that natural progression every year. And I feel like it's always going to be that thing with new captain. Is it a positive or a negative thing? For Stephen Cornelio, it was a negative. I think for this guy, it's going to be a positive. He literally has West Coast straight up. And I can see a world where he goes 160 to 180 against West Coast, and everyone's like, fuck me. And then he has Melbourne, who he has a 3-game average of 139 against. Then the Crows, the Kangaroos, and the Tigers. His first 5 games are so fucking lit. It could put you into the top 100 straight up. And yeah, like this dude, he could be him. He could be him.
I actually really like it. You're talking me into it. You are talking me into it like hard.
Like, yeah.
He looks good. I just want to point out, because I don't know why. It's not that I didn't notice it. I definitely noticed it last year, but it's more like his ceiling's ridiculous. Like
Oh,
he has
yeah.
gone 150 plus 3 times last year, and then he and sprinkle in 2 1 4 is that 2 140s or 1 140? That's 2 140 plus games too, and one of them is a 149 as well, so basically 150. That's 5 games, 140 plus points. But it's just his floor. Like he scored a 70 against North Melbourne. Like that's just there were a lot of people that probably captained him that day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a 50 against the Swans. Oh, it's just like the floor is bad. 55 against the Blues as well. So that's the thing. He's look at this. 149, 55, 150. It's like,
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. It's like, yeah, all right, you've done well for 2 weeks, but I guarantee you weren't captaining him in the one against Essendon for the 150 if he just scored a 55 against the Blues. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's look, but you're right, his draw is juicy. He is now the captain of the club.
Yeah.
And I mean, Matt Rowell's out the door.
Is he though?
I
Is
mean,
he? I don't think
he
he
might
is.
be.
We'll talk about that a
Yeah,
little
he
bit
might
later when
be.
we talk about Matty Rowell.
But yeah, no, he's playing West Coast and North and Richmond in the first 5 games of the actual season starting. I don't hate it. I really don't. The only thing
Yeah.
is, he's got a round 2 bye, which is annoying. So you're only going to get
I know.
one game of him before he has a bye. So, which means to me is he could be the correction trade before his price rise. You could pick him up before the Melbourne game and go, let's just say, I don't know, let's just say Bontempelli bombs, like bombs hard, hypothetically. I don't know why I keep
Cannot
thinking
see that.
bomb.
Yeah, I
But
don't
let's
know
just
what you
say he
mean.
does. Let's say he just pumps out a 50, let's just say, Bevo decides to Bevo bunt finally. And, you're just like,
Sorry.
I need to do something with this cash before it dies. So then, you could go Anderson in theory. So there's always a correction trade, and Anderson could be the number one guy for that because you're only going to miss one big score. You're only missing one big score, and he's not even going to go up or down in price after that score. So you could afford to watch him play 2 games, go nuts for 2 games, and you go, oh, and only one of those games count towards your season average anyway. And then just pick him up later. You've still got North Melbourne and Richmond coming up after that. That's probably the play I'm making with you.
Yeah. You know what? This is going to sound so bad. If something, oh, actually, no, I'm not going to say it. No, nah, we're going to move on. I don't want to jinx it.
I want
Nah, I'm like, if Bont went down with an injury, hey, like, it would open Supercoach up so much. So much. Anyway, we'll move on. Quickest talk ever
know.
coming
Don't
up.
say
Tom
that.
Green.
I'd
Tom
say
Green,
that.
who has been injured, 574K, likely to miss the first 4 to 6 games. Do we need to talk about him?
No, I was never picking him even before
Okay, cool. Had a shit bye anyway.
that.
Next one. We got to power through these. Rory Laird, 561K. So he's moved back to the role that started it all for him, and it could be a blessing for Laird. He's a machine off halfback, but everyone's so focused. Fuck yeah, Laird back on halfback. How good. His best scoring's always been in the midfield, though. And honestly, him as a halfback might not even be, I'm going to say it, might not even be a top six defender.
The Crows seem to have maybe even gone past him. They've got a lot of half, they've got some halfback options as well. Look,
Yeah.
I actually think that he's probably a decent pick, but you could wait till he's, you could easily wait until he's actually got defensive status if you're wanting to put
Yeah.
him in your halfback line. It's not like Nick Martin last year, or you know what I mean?
Well,
It's
Nick
not,
Martin
it's
was
not
like a
like.
whole full 100K cheaper.
That's why. So
Yeah.
that was why we were picking Nick Martin, is because yeah, we're going to chuck him in defense later, or you know, but he's 100K cheaper. So you knew that he was going to be mid 500Ks by round six. So you picked him at the bargain price. Laird's
Yeah.
not at that bargain price. He's actually just a straight up primo. So I don't. If anything, I could see him dropping a little bit in price by round six. So
Or maintaining.
yeah. Yeah, just maintaining, really. I mean, is he really gonna? He might break 600K, maybe, but
Oh.
chances are it's probably not. It's not going to. I don't think he
Yeah.
is. So,
Yeah.
yeah, nah, fade for me.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you've been listening to our potty every single year, Pete, but ever since Real came in, ever since Real came in, Paddo and I have spoken, and it's the year that I actually start Real, we think is going to be the year that he becomes like an Uber Primo. He's not in my team yet, but I'm strongly considering him. So Real, 550K, and I've got the man who is to make the jump soon, surely. So last season, he started off like a house on fire, and we all thought, fuck yeah, it's finally happened. But then we realized Dano didn't start him. It's gonna fizz out. No one actually realized that. But he did fizz out though. So his first 7 games, he only had one sub 100 score, and that was a fucking 99. One more point. That 7 game stretch saw him average 131 and be one of the, I think it was like either top two, if not the top averaging player at that stage of the season. And I'm pretty sure you started him last year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I did. I
Yeah.
was all over him all preseason, picked him, and by the end of round seven, I thought that I was a Supercoach genius. And then
But
it all
then,
went downhill from there.
Pato and I honestly reckon, and we said this last year, that he played through an injury or something.
You must have.
Because after that, yeah, he didn't look right. Like he physically just did not look like he was running right or moving right. And yeah, it just looked strange. But new year, contract season, everyone knows a contract season, people play out of their fucking minds. Coupling in, Suns have never made finals before. Hearing inside their camp that they're on a fucking war path. They're like, nah, home is our fortress. We're gonna start winning away. We're gonna start making away games our fortress. And I could honestly see Matty Real finally doing it. And again, floating him in and out of my team, going, oh, Willy Woney. It's just that fucking shitty early buy in the midfield, like you said with LDU. So yeah, it's I can see a world where he absolutely starts off on it like a house on fire, and I'll be like, fuck, I knew it. I should have started him.
I am a real big Rao fan. I think he's great, honestly. And I know that he burnt me last season, like in the second half of the year. But honestly, I don't hate the pick at all. My only concern is there's two things that happen with players on their contract year. Okay.
Very, very
There's
good or
two
very, very
things.
shit.
Yeah. They're either horrible because they've already decided they're leaving, and or they're just amazing because they want to stay and they just want to just get a couple more bucks in, you know, in that
Yeah.
contract, right? Shai Bolton, perfect example last year. It was disgusting. Clearly did not want to be at the club after round five. It was
Yeah,
blatantly obvious. If you remember
but
Joe Danaher a few years ago with his back injury, his back, I'm doing quotation marks, you can't see me. His
yeah.
back injury, right? You go look at his stats from that, his last season at the Dons after the failed trade to the Swans, right? His best game was guess who? Brisbane, and then he did nothing after that. He was obviously just showcasing to them what he can do. And then Tim Taranto in his last season at the Giants, quoting again, back injury, right? Because as soon as he got to the Tigers, that back injury was completely fine, and he was our best player for the whole season. So I just think that it could go one of two ways. He can either be really committed to the club. I'm staying here. I just want to get the money that I'm worth, and this is what I'm worth. Or, nah, I'm out. This place is a basket case. And it depends on which one we're going to see. I still think the Anderson pick is a better one purely because you know he's the captain of the club. He needs to deliver, and he's shown us that he's ceiling. So for me, I would prefer Anderson.
The other
Similar
thing,
prices, too.
and this is the thing, the other reason why I think they made Noah Anderson captain is because they want to show Real that Anderson, his best mate, who he did all juniors with, is going to stay to try and persuade Real to stay. And from all accounts, from what I've heard inside, is that he loves it there. His best mate's there. He loves the staff. The staff love him. He's passionate about his footy. He wants to learn everything. It sounds like he doesn't want to leave. So it won't surprise me if at all if he stays. Everyone's saying he's gone, but I reckon he'll stay. Anyway, moving on. Talking about Freo midfielders from earlier, Hayden Young, 546K.
So,
So this bloke will have you going, where the fuck is he? And then why is he scoring shit? And then as soon as you say that, because I lived this last year, as soon as you say that, he gets two quick kicks, gets a goal assist somehow, and all of a sudden he's got 20 points. And it's like the old Adam Treloar, when Adzi goes missing for like 15 minutes and then there's a 5 minute spurt and then all of a sudden he's got 45, 50 points. You're like, what the fuck? So Young's game style is built for Supercoach. He just needs to learn to accumulate the ball a bit more, and it's a bit hard when you got your Brayshaws and your Sarongs surrounding you. So I get that. But he's learnt how to score and get the goal assists and whatnot. And he's even pushing up the ground a bit more into that like half forward and whatnot and kicking some snaggeroonies, I reckon. So it won't surprise me. Like if you start him as a mid, I actually don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. But it won't surprise me if he does rest a bit forward and he gets DPP and then opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. But I'm not guaranteeing that because I want to see it a little bit more first. But huge POD though, he's in fuck all teams.
I think I had Young in 22 and 23 from memory. I started him in 24 and stupidly traded him out because I got frustrated and impatient.
Yeah.
I did turn him to Luke Ryan, so it's not a total loss there. I just want to ask, okay, just out of curiosity, okay, how many teams' third best midfielder are you paying 550K for?
Not many, if any.
That's the problem. That's the problem. How can we pick this guy at 550K when we know he's behind Sarong and Brayshaw? We know he's behind them. And I just can't see a world where he is 110 guy while those two are flying. Okay. If one of them drops off, they get an injury, they're out for 10 weeks, whatever. Yeah, I think Young is the guy, right? But I just can't see him going 110 while both Brayshaw and Sarong go 110 to 115. I just don't see Fremantle having that good of a season where three midfielders go 110 plus. That's just insane to me.
I got a query. What did Will Brody average that he went well?
Will Brody, where is he? Is this big? He's not big. He's actually pretty skinny. he's in 1% of teams, which is interesting. Will Brody averaged a whopping 102.
Okay, so I thought he averaged more than that. Never mind.
See, that's the thing. So I can see, don't get me wrong, I could see 105 average year, which is still a positive for Young. I could definitely see that. I just can't see a 110. I just can't. Like, I do like.
Best case
Yeah.
scenario, he gets forward status at some stage.
Oh, he gets forward status. He's a lock. Like, you have to move heaven and earth to get him in your team. But I'm not gonna, rely on that. I just don't think. Okay, he's a gun player. I really like the guy. It's a no for me purely for that price. 100K cheaper in my team.
Okay, cool. We'll move on. We'll move on because there's so many fucking we got to get through. Ed Richards, 531K. This bloke could be the Libba of 2025. Like, no Treloar. I honestly, and I said this about Sanders, I honestly think that Bevo is going to start phasing Libba out, and Richards will be one of the three sole mids this year. I know Bevo's his coach and all that, but I just feel like that this is going to be what Bevo's going to do. And Richards can fucking play the Ginger Ninja. So it's a massive POD, and you'll have a big ass kahunas to do it. But yeah, I won't be surprised if I see a few teams after this potty with Ed Richards in there after looking at what he can do.
Unless your name is Marcus Fontempelli, it's a no for me. You are not
Yep, fair
saving
enough.
Bevo.
Fair enough. We'll move on. We'll move on. Connor Rosie, 529K. So discounted primo this year. We know what he can do. And another one that I honestly wouldn't blame people for starting. And from all accounts, he is tearing it up. He at one stage, I stupidly took Butters out and put Rosie in to free up some cash. And then I was like, no, I feel dirty. I still need my Butters. Yeah, but I don't blame people if they do start like both of them.
I did the same. I took out Butters just for fun, just to see what it really saves you a bunch of cash. Saves you almost 120K. A whole rookie. It actually saves you a whole rookie. I don't actually, that gap should not be that big. It should just not be. This guy started last season at 600K. And there's a reason for that, because he can be huge. Like, I watched that game against Essendon where he scored 152 in round four. He was amazing. He started the year, 5 games into the season, he was averaging 116.6. That's big numbers. Big numbers. So he is the kind of guy that can do that. And you have to remember that he did have some injuries last year. It wasn't shit form. It was injury-affected games. And then they brought him back too early, and then he got injured again. And then they had to wait for him to come back. So it's just, he was kind of poorly managed. He had injury problems. He didn't really have a good run at it. But when he did come back from injury and he strung some games together, he was able to actually put some decent scores on the board, like the 111, 103, 168 against the Dogs, 105 and 113. 73 is pretty poor, but then he went 108 and 104. Like, these are decent numbers. He only averaged 98 for the season, which is not that bad. I mean, we're all over Clayton Oliver. Everyone's suddenly forgiven Clayton Oliver after last year. Who had a much worse season. Everyone's forgetting Connor Rosie. He's in 6% of teams currently. I am strongly considering Connor Rosie. Strongly. I don't think I could fade Butters for him, but it's tempting. It is very tempting.
We'll move on. Now, I'm putting Tim Taranto at 509K in here because I always put the best midfielder from the shittest team. No offense, Pete. And the reason is because they're not going to get tagged. Their teammates often utilize them and look for them all the time. So he has a new look, young midfield brigade around him. Hopefully, Sam Laidlaw's fucking jaw heals up by round one. Fuck you, Jinbi.
He Jimby should be put away for a month. No,
Oh
he
yeah,
shouldn't.
don't
He missed at
worry.
least a game though.
Anyway, he can also push forward and kick a snag too, the old Tim Taranto, although he doesn't like playing forward. But the problem, he's only cracked the Supercoach ton average twice in his 8-year career. So each couple of seasons, there tends to be, like I said, that breakout among the 27 to 29-year-olds. A fucking flogging a dead horse with this. Maybe this is Taranto's year and he finally lives up to the potential that we all know that he could.
He was amazing in 23. I honestly, it was just amazing. I think people forget how good he was in 23 at the start of the season, especially when Richmond were in the hunt, when it looked like they could potentially make a finals campaign. I just want to remind people of how good he was. He went 103, 95. The 95 was kind of average. But then after that, he turned up for the next 6 games in a row, and then before a 90, before another 6 tons. Like, it's just, he was that good. He was averaging almost 120 points at his buy-in round 15. He dropped off a bit towards the end of the year, yes, but up until round 15, he was one of the Brownlow favorites, and there was a reason for that. He was just amazing. He's got the ceiling. He can drift forward and kick a goal, which is great. But I think that could be his downfall because he's been spending a lot of the match simulations up forward. And that's where I'm a bit concerned because Richmond's forward line was putrid last year. And it wasn't because Richmond wasn't getting the ball up forward. They actually just couldn't do anything when the ball went up there. I watched a lot of Richmond games and I just watched them bombing it to absolutely nobody or Jacob Kaczynski. And that was basically nobody. He's a good defender, but he's not a forward.
Dave
Richmond
Bolton's nickname was also nobody.
Oh God, he was horrible last year. I don't know why we kept giving him games. But he, that's what I'm saying. And because he's so effective up forward, I can actually see him playing a half forward role a lot while rotating into the midfield because of his ability to actually do something when the ball goes up forward, because that Richmond really need that. And look, honestly, just due to a necessity, he might spend a bit of time up forward, and that's not great if you're picking him as a mid. But it could mean forward status by, later in the year. So, if he was listed as a forward later in the year, I'm going to be all over him. But yeah, not liking it at the early stages.
The irony that he left the Giants because he wanted to contend for a premiership and also wanted to play midfield.
I mean, you could argue that Brett Deledio did the same thing. It
Because
worked
Brett
out
Deledio made a grand
great for him.
final.
No, he didn't play in it. He was injured. He was
Yeah, I know, but
injured.
at least he made one.
I mean, yeah, he's team. Yeah, you're right. His team did make one.
Half the team
His
didn't fucking play.
previous team won three flags.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. Next one. Now this is, oh, here we go. Now we're into the fun bits. Will Day, 491K, looks like a fucking Ferrari. And this preseason he's taking his game up to another level, it looks like. We know when Will Day's on, he's fucking on. And you look at his stretch, Pete, and you can bring this up in front of you from rounds 10 to 17 last year when he came back from injury. So he had the initial few games where he's just trying to like get runs on the board, and then you just see him fucking go. Do you want to read out the scores from rounds 10 to 17 last year?
Read them out for me. Tell me.
Oh, I was going to see if you wanted to do it,
Oh,
because I know you can stay
I've
on
got
this
them
one.
up. I've got them up. I thought you were just going to do it. It's all right.
Yeah,
I've
no,
got them
you go,
up.
you go. Read
Here
them
we
out.
go.
Read them out for the
All right.
listeners.
Round 10, 142, 117, 107, 137, 100, and then by 104, 103, 92, 104, 136. Just went
Fucking
nuts.
nuts.
Went
Absolute
nuts.
nuts. And the fact he's priced at 491K is madness to me. So he this like this guy, I've said it could break the 108, 110 average easily. Like that's me dumbing it down. Like that's me like not overselling it or anything. That's like you expect a 108 to 110 and he fucking pumps out a 115 and you're like jizzing all over the place.
The only shit thing is he's got a buy. And
Nah.
I know that we focus too much on the buys, but this is just from someone that kind of fucked their whole season up last year due to the buys. And the reason for that was is because I made a lot of stupid decisions that I would not have made due to the buys, because I had too many players missing 1 week, or this guy is not doing great, and now it's his buy as well. Like, Brody
Trading
Grundy
out
didn't start.
Rankin.
Yeah, Trev. Oh, don't. No. Yeah, like trading out Rankin. All right. That, like, he didn't even have a buy. I'm just stupid. Anyway, trading out Brody Grundy, for example, at his buy because he wasn't
Oh,
setting the world
fuck.
on fire. Yeah, see? And then he came back from his buy and he went nuts, right? So I just feel like it could force you to make a dumb move because his buy's in round four. But he only shares it with Essendon. So I suppose if you're not starting any Bombers primos, you could go Will Day, and that's okay. You only got one player missing that week anyway. So I could see a world where you do start Day and you've done pretty well. Like, I'm considering it. Especially if Blaylor misses. Maybe that's the player I bring in.
What the fuck?
I've got
What the
280K on
fuck?
my I got 280K as my remaining
Yeah.
salary, so I can actually go. I can almost get to Will Day from one trade.
I was like, oh yeah, just casually sidewaysing fucking Sam Laylor to Will Day, like that works.
Watching my remaining salary at work. I mean, I just have to trade down a rookie to someone else, and then I can just do it very easily. Maybe that's what I'll do today.
Now, I've left Darcy Parrish off this run sheet. Just honorable mention, but yeah, look, he's cooked this preseason. I'm just leaving him off. Agreed, Pete.
Agreed. Yeah, he's injured
Cool.
anyway.
Let's talk about one of the most popular picks in Supercoach, and that's Clayton Oliver, aka Clary, at 452K. If you told me 2 seasons ago that we would get Clary at 452K, I would have said, get off the fucking crack pipe. So anyway, I'm gonna say
Apparently,
let's
he
not miss
did.
it. Oh, fuck me.
I mean,
Oh no.
I couldn't help it. I couldn't
No.
help. What?
Oh no. And this is why I asked you to be a co-host, because you're doing a fucking paddo. So
That
it was. So he's had one down year due to that off, I'm gonna say off-field stuff, which was last year. And then the previous 4 seasons, he averaged over 120 each year. So like reports and eye tests are saying that it's the fittest anyone's actually ever seen him. And even if he gets back to 70% of the player that he was, that's still primo territory and one of the biggest locks in Supercoach for me.
There's that photo floating around of him in that garage doing weights, and like he's never been like he's always been a fit player. Like he's an endurance machine, right? That's what he can do. He is a fit player. He's never been that jacked before. So I'm just looking at him and I'm just like, yeah, this he looks great, and he's dominating
Can you send me
match
that? Because
simulations.
I haven't even seen that.
I've got it somewhere. I'll send it to you. And he just looks ripped, and I'm like, yeah, I'm sold. I'm sold. I think it was at that moment I was like, yep, Clary in.
Yeah, no, we can
And
move on.
yeah, just move on, lock him in.
Yep, geez, cool, easy. Okay, Will Ashcroft, 441K. Oh, fuck, I've misspelt Norm Smith medalist. I said Norman Smith medalist, but anyway, the Norm Smith medalist.
The Harvey Norman medal.
Yeah. Oh fuck. So he came back with a flurry last season. Oh my God, you fucked me up.
Sorry.
Because I was like, Jack Graham's a Harvey Norman medalist. He looks like a fucking fridge. Anyway, he returned from his ACL injury that sidelined him from the 12 months. So, and he won the Norm Smith. The question is though, in his third actual season, can he be more consistent? And for me, I think it's not the year. And a lot of people are going to be like, fucking Dano. You got no clue, but I don't think this year is the year that he'll be more consistent. I reckon that he'll make you 100K, no doubt about it. As I get a phone call just then. So he'll make you your 100K, but if you're picking someone in the 440 range, I feel like that you're picking them for the whole season. You're not using them as a stepping stone or anything. What are your thoughts there?
I mean, look, if he was going to be a Brisbane midfielder that I pick, I like this one the most purely because of the price. And I mean, they do have a good draw. Look, I don't hate it, but again, it's one of those buy players again, and I can see him maybe making us 100K definitely. I can see that easily happening. I just feel like I don't like picking players at this price range and knowing that I'm trading him away. That's just never been my play personally. If I'm picking a mid-pricer, I'm picking him because I think that he's a keeper
Yeah.
personally. So I'm not just picking the mid-pricer, yeah, because I can make a quick buck and then trade him away. I don't like doing that. I try to pick a guy that I think is cheap, but I want to keep him. Like, I remember a few years ago when Patrick Cripps won his Brownlow, I think he started at about that price that Ashcroft is right
480.
now.
I think he
Yeah,
started at 480.
right? Or Jared Witt's that season too, right? But I always thought that they were keepers. I never had the intention of trading out either of them. So I think that you only pick Ashcroft if you think he's a keeper. But again, he's probably Brisbane's third best midfielder. So he's in the Hayden Young territory. But at 100K less, the average is 105, and you're happy with him as your last midfielder. Yeah, you could do worse.
Moving on, we've got three more to do. So the first of the three is Dylan Sheil at 414K. So you're probably thinking, ew, what the fuck, Dano? What the fuck are you smoking? Well,
Actually, no.
apparently it's the good stuff because Sheil actually looks kind of decent. And he's got a new role off halfback flank. Now, it's interesting. You ask Essendon fans how he went, and they said, oh, yeah, he kind of butchered it a little bit. But then you ask non-Essendon fans how he went, and you're like, he actually looked fucking good. So it depends on who you ask. But I know it's only a small preseason hype sample size, but it'll definitely be one to watch for the Pracky game, like the official one. But he looks decent enough, and this could be your Nick Martin of 2025. Essendon player, halfback role, sole mid, wait till the changes plonk him up in there. What was his score from the Pracky game that they just did, Pete?
I actually...
It wasn't a Supercoach score. I think it was AFL Fantasy,
it was
but he's still fucking good.
Fantasy, and I can't find it.
He
now.
Was still up there.
It was it was up there. No, it was really good. And I'm just trying to see. I want to find the exact score for you. That's all. And I am
it was in the
90s. To find it. Yeah, it was good. It was actually a good score. Where is it?
And for context for people, like in that format that they were playing, the 90s, fucking good. I think there was only two people that cracked 100, and one of them was Nick Bryan, and I can't remember who the other one was.
Yeah, Bryan actually looks great. I'm trying to see.
We'll talk about him in the Ruck podcast, though, because he's been in and out of my time.
Nah, I can't seem to find it, but I know that he had a great game. And the thing is, he's actually had a really good preseason. I did make a post. I'm just going to give myself my own little plug here, right?
Yep,
and
pat on the back.
It's Nerds for Life. SC on X, okay. but honestly, I made a post about this, like, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. He's been flying, and he's been looking really explosive off that half-back line while Nick Martin's moved into a midfield forward role. So they're looking to use him in a distribution role, and he does look really good off that half-back line. I have to admit, maybe this is the position that he should have always been playing in, honestly. And going back to what you were saying before, there's that random dude in his early 30s that just puts it all together and has one huge season just before he tapers off. Maybe it's Shield's year.
Traditionally, it's 27 to 29, occasionally a 30-year-old, but Shield would be 32 this year.
If I admit that Shield is past his prime, it means that I am past my prime, and I don't like that. So I'm going to go with Shield as in the best years of his life.
Yeah.
And I say that while looking at my gut. And honestly, in the right role, if you remember Jack Zeebel, it was only 2 years ago, Jack Zeebel was, what, 34, 33?
Oh,
went
yeah.
Nuts. You know what? What's his name? Dane Zorko last year. He's like 50.
Yep.
And
he's 36 this year. I think he might be turning 37, or he's just turned 36, one or the other.
And he's still doing great. Like, that's the thing. So if Shield is in the right position where the ball is being literally spoon-fed to him, potentially, and if he's got kick-ins as well, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. At 414K, if you've got the balls to go Dylan Shield, you could be gloating about it all year.
Whoa.
Very easily.
You know I love me a punt.
Well, you're already trading out Bont for LDU, aren't you?
No, I'm trading out Bont for now Dylan Shield, apparently.
Dylan Shield? Oh, he's my old. God. Can you imagine if that paid off? Imagine if, like, Bont did get injured in round one and you've gone Dylan Shield, who goes
it was
150.
Like 160 round one. Fuck. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I want to do it now.
Nah, don't be silly. Wrap your willy. Anyway, we'll go last two, and they're both from Adelaide. The first one's James Peatling, 353K. So he's a very interesting one, and everyone's asking me, Dano Peatling, like, what's the go? So basically, when Peatling played as a mid, and this is even in games where he started in a different position and played mid and whatnot, we worked it out that he averaged 98.5 Supercoach. Now, for someone that's 353K, that's stepping stone territory, 98.5. If he gets anywhere close to that or even slightly exceeds it, fucking money. So we know the potential's there. New team, they rate him highly. Could see a significant uptick in those CBAs. I'm trying to work out, though, how exactly he fits into that midfield mix, because he's very similar to a lot of the guys that is there. And we know that the plumber can play footy. He's kind of like that guy that where, like, you know, he can play forward, you can know he can drop back into defense. Like, what exactly are Adelaide going to do with him? So that's the only query that I have.
Look, I'm not sold. I don't know what it is. I just feel like, do you remember Hopper 2 years ago?
Yes.
And we had so much data on him. So much data. to suggest that he was gonna do what we're expecting Peatling to do, and then he just didn't. Now, I don't think Peatling's gonna be a bad player. I think he's gonna be a good player, but again, I just don't see him being a keeper. And again, it's just the way I play. And the way I play is if I'm picking a guy around that 350K mark, I'm picking him because I think that he's going to be the one that I want to finish the season with. Okay. Because the
Really?
reality is, we could be getting injuries and then you might have to be forced to keep him. And do you want to keep him? Like, there's two other guys that I'm looking at around the 350K mark, right? Or three other guys that I think could potentially be keepers. And I just don't see Peatling being a keeper personally. Yeah, he can make 200K, definitely. But then you have to trade him out. And then
You're thinking, oh
you're
yeah.
also going to be worried. I think you're going to be worried, right? Because it's going to happen. You're going to get to that point. You're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to trade him out. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, he's playing Richmond. Or, oh, wait, maybe I'll keep him out of the week because he's playing this team. Maybe he'll pump out another 110 or 105. And then you're kind of like, umming and ahhing about it. Like that's kind of what happened with me last year with Max Holmes. I was like, oh, he's doing actually okay. I can't trade him out. Am I really going to trade out a guy that just went 110? And the
Yeah.
reality was, I should have traded him out because he really dropped off towards the end of the year. So, I mean, it takes a certain type of player to go, yeah, I'm starting this guy and I'm going to trade him out at his bye. Because if he scores 110 just before his bye or around that point, you're probably not trading him out, even though it's the right move. So that's just why I don't like it
Well,
personally, because I'm never the one that can make the
fair
choice.
enough. Fair enough. And the last one we got is Isaac Cumming, aka Cum Dog Milo. I'm at 288K. So this is basically where I've gone with it. If he's playing on the wing, avoid the fuck out of him. If he has a half back role locked down and is taking kick-ins, then consider him. But otherwise, I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole. He is not good on the wing. And when he played his best footy at the Giants, he was taking kick-ins and he was taking bulk kick-ins and playing on from those kick-ins.
I didn't watch the Adelaide Kraken match, but I did get some info from it. And he did look. From what I'm gathering, he's actually got a wing to half back role and has
But
actually
that's still not
floated
good.
half forward. It's not good, and I'm not considering him as a result. Yeah, it's a no from me. Look, I know that's the last guy on your list, but I just want to know what your opinion is on Ollie Hollins. Real quick, just real quick. I'm just adding this.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I'm just adding
I want to say, because I've got him in so many keepers and I held him because of this halfback role that he's supposedly playing.
I've got him right now.
Look, what's he priced at?
He's priced at 333,000.
Yeah, it's just too fucking awkward.
But round six, he's going to get defensive status, so then you could just chuck him in there
But then,
in
like, I
defense.
feel like he's
Just
going to be
chuck
like
him.
an 80s to 90s guy. Like, I'd need to see him pop off in a pracky game, and then I'd be like, right, sweet.
Yeah, that makes sense. That
I'll
makes
consider him.
sense. I could trade out Ollie Hollins for Will Day. Oh, I
Honestly,
could turn Laylor and Hollins into Will Day.
I would honestly. If out of all of them, Will Day, man, like all day, every day, Will Day.
It's looking. I'm doing it as we speak, and I actually like my team.
Yeah. Anyway, Pete, what is your Twitter? Where can people find you on YouTube and all that sort of shit?
They can find me on all the social medias known to man at Nerds for the number four Life SC. So Nerds for Life SC. And I will be there posting all my random thoughts.
Yep, all of his thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. My ex, formerly known as Twitter, is at DANEOSCCC. So DANOSCCC. Haddo's is at PAWTOSCCC. He's been a bit non-existent, but he will be back when the season starts. I fucking hope. And our face and our Facebook. Oh, we're fucked otherwise. And our Facebook page is Supercoach Co-Captains, so you can find us there and we'll post up our podcast and whatnot. And look, to be honest, I think I'm going to start sharing some of your posts across to our page, Pete, because you like I said, you've been the MVP of the preseason. All of these watch notes and shit, it's just been great. So I was on this. Oh yeah, if you guys don't mind, Supercoach Insider. Swizz had both Pete and myself on. Pete, did you do the Richmond one?
I actually am recording it tomorrow night now. There was a little last minute
Oh, yep.
change, But it is being recorded tomorrow night, and it will be about Richmond. And I did watch the Giants one that you did the other day. Great stuff, although I'm fading every Giants player, but that's just because of the
Not
bye. It's just because of the bye. But
tempted by
oh,
Whitfield.
no, I haven't been tempted by Whitfield for years. I just can't. I just can't. I'm more tempted by Connor Stone, and to be honest, I think that
James
Stone,
Leake.
it's tempting, but I not with Jepson at the moment. I think maybe Jepson maybe gets a sneaky game at the Sun, so you don't think so?
Nah.
Oh, but I want it so bad.
There's a fair few people ahead of him, mate.
But I want it so bad.
I
He's
know everyone wants it
99K.
so bad. But hey, when Henderson, the midfield rookie, gets added for Melbourne,
That's true.
there's your
Well,
99K.
actually, what about I don't mind. I just can't believe we're doing this again. Harvey for the Giants could be a really good pick, actually.
Harvey.
Harvey? Oh, did I say wait, Harris? Oh my God, what's his name? Where is he? Where is he?
Ollie
Who's who?
Hannaford?
No, my God, what is wrong with
Harvey
me?
Thomas?
That's him, Harvey Thomas. I knew there was a
Wait,
Harvey there.
he's suspended. Yeah,
What are they
I forgot
sketchy?
that when we did our forward line pod.
Yeah,
I forgot he's suspended till like round three.
that's all right. I'll pick him up in round like six on his bubble. That's fine.
Yeah, easy. But anyway, we'll do our sign off again. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
I'm Pete.
This is us
I did
signing.
forget my name.
Yeah.
The
That was so bad. I'm not editing that. Catch us
Perfect.
later.